Today on Life Talk.
We are either going to be controlled by the flesh or controlled by the Holy Spirit. There is no fence. There's no in-between place. As a human being, you have a choice. Either be controlled by the flesh, do what the flesh wants you to do, or controlled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and do what He wants you to do.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. In our last few times together, we've been teaching a series entitled Every Christian's Battle. We've learned that every Christian battles with the flesh, which is that old sinful nature that is contrary to the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit are two opposing forces that exist within every believer. The Spirit is just that, the Holy Spirit. And the flesh is the part of a believer that disagrees with and resists the Spirit at every turn. We've noted that the battle with the flesh is every Christian's battle, and in today's study, we're going to look at the importance of watching over four crucial gateways in our life: the gateway of the tongue, the eyes, the ear, and the feet. I believe this is going to be a real blessing to you, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Guard Your Gates, in our series entitled Every Christian's Battle. Every one of us, if you're a Christian, you wake up to a tug of war. Every day you wake up to a tug of war. And the tug of war is between the Spirit of God within you and the flesh that is still in you, still a part of you. The flesh is not the skin that surrounds our skeleton. It's the fallen nature of Adam that always wants what God doesn't want for us. And what God does want for us, the flesh doesn't want. And what the flesh wants, God doesn't want. So we're in a tug of war. How many of you can say, I've already had that tug of war today? I can tell you I did when the alarm went off. I had a tug of war. Amen. My flesh didn't want to get up that early, and it didn't last week either. But the Spirit of God wanted me to get up and preach and minister and shine and share Jesus. So we're in a tug of war. It says the Spirit battles against the flesh, and the flesh battles against the Spirit. So that so often we don't do what we want to do. And so the Bible comes along and says, look, I've got an answer for the struggle. Not that you're ever going to be perfect. Not that you're ever going to be totally sinless, because we all mess up. But I've got an answer primarily, fundamentally, for you to have victory over the flesh. And that is the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. It says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of you are tired of your flesh? Man, this week, I made a mistake. I got Girl Scout cookies. I went into the store, and, you know, I was walking into Albertsons, and here's these little girls selling these cookies. So, you know, I had to bless the little girls. So I grabbed some that were truly lethal. They're graham, I'm going to make you hungry. I don't want to lose you now. But they're graham crackers covered in chocolate with some caramel in it. And those things talked to me every time I went by my refrigerator. And I knew I didn't need to eat as many as I did. And then I got the mint chocolate covered ones. Now see, the rest of you, you're in bondage like me to those Girl Scout. And so I said, here, sweetie. And I bought quite a few and I took them home. And I told Cindy, I said, look what I got. And she was blessed too. So all week long, I battled those Girl Scout cookies. And my flesh said, go ahead and eat a few. You deserve a break today. You've been working hard. You'll go ride it off. You can eat five, six of them at a time. Come on, just one more. But the Spirit of God said in me, moderation is the key. But see, I battled. Now, that's just an example. But there's many battles that are even way more serious than that.
And let me read now out of Proverbs 4, 23 to 27, because I want to talk to you about guarding your gates. Guard your gates. The Bible says, guard your heart above all else, because it determines the course of your life. Now, here comes some gates. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now, this message kind of works both ways, because I'm going to talk to you about four gateways to your soul. The Bible says guard your heart, but then it tells us how to guard it. How do we guard our heart? It tells us how to do it by mentioning four gateways to our heart. And I'm going to tell you what they are. Here's what they are, the four gateways that it mentions. The tongue gate, what you say. The ear gate, what you hear. The eye gate, what you see. The feet gate. I couldn't think of a better way to say it, so feet gate. I almost want to say water gate. But here we go. The feet gate, where you go. So there you go. The tongue gate, what you say. The ear gate, what you hear. The eye gate, what you see. And the feet gate, where you go. He tells us about, he mentions these four gateways to our soul, knowing that if we can guard those gates, it will assure that we walk with God and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So he deals with your eyes, your tongue, your ears, and your feet. And in Bible days, we all know that they had walls around the cities. They had a wall around every city for protection, and then they had gates in different parts of those walls. And those gates were simply designed to let the right people in and keep the wrong people out. That's what the gates were for. Let what is good in and keep what is bad out. That's the purpose of a gate. Now, the Bible is here telling us that the eye gate, the ear gate, the tongue gate, the feet gate, those are gateways that we either let what is good into our life or what is wrong into our life. And we're to be guards of those gates. And so I want to talk about those gates today because we want to walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to show you that if we don't guard those gates, it makes it very, very hard to walk in the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh? Because if we walk in the flesh, the Bible says it brings death. It brings spiritual death. It breaks our relationship, our fellowship with God. And we're always stumbling, always falling, always messing up, always doing what we don't want to do, going where we shouldn't go, saying what we shouldn't say. But if we learn to guard the gates, then it assures and greatly strengthens our ability to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So everybody say with me, guard your gate. Guard your gates, guard your gates. The Bible says that we're to make it our aim in life not to grieve the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And you see, you and I are the house of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, this week in my Bible study, I've been reading about the tabernacle. And that's just going through the Bible in a year, which I do every year. And so I'm reading about the tabernacle. And God always made a place where His glory and His presence would be manifested. In the tabernacle and in the temple, there was a special place where the glory and presence and Shekinah of God would be manifested. And it was a building. It was a construction. It was tabernacle, a great big huge tent. Or it was that beautiful temple. But now, as soon as Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead, God said, I'm no longer going to dwell in a building, but I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to dwell in my people. And that's why when Jesus gave up his spirit and died, it says the veil in the temple separating the outer place from the Holy of Holies was ripped in half, top to bottom. And God was saying, now anyone who puts their faith in my Son can come into my presence like only the high priest could do before. Because now the presence that was in the temple in the Holy of Holies is living in you and me. We are the house of the Holy Spirit, the home of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He lives inside of us. And so living inside of us, He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants, are you ready? He wants to control us because that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit means. It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because here's the deal, we are either going to be controlled by the flesh or controlled by the Holy Spirit. There is no fence. There's no in-between place. There is no option. As a human being, you have a choice. Either be controlled by the flesh, do what the flesh wants you to do, or controlled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and do what He wants you to do. That's it. Now, the lost person has no choice because the lost person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So they must do what the flesh tells them to do, but not the believer. The believer is the only person on earth that has a choice. We can walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. So the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And so guarding the four gateways is crucial to walking in the Spirit, not grieving the Spirit, and having victory over the flesh.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
So I want to look at these one at a time, these four gates, because we've all got these four gates. Amen? First of all, he says, guard your eye gate. Look what the Bible says. He says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. In other words, a straight gaze prevents a wandering eye. He says, I want you to fix your eyes straight ahead. Now, I don't know how many of you go to the fair. I go to the fair sometimes, and I remember last time I went, we parked where we had to walk right into the Midway. The Midway is insanity. The Midway is crazy. Because, and I realized when I walked in that where I wanted to go was on the other side of the Midway. And so I thought, now on either side of me are carnival barkers, what we used to call carnival barkers. And it's these people that are hired to get you to come and play whatever it is they're over, like shooting a BB gun to moving targets, throwing a softball into increasingly smaller circle sizes. And if you can get the softball into the middle circle, you can win a great big stuffed toy. Of course, they've got it rigged where you can hardly ever win it. And so on either side of you are these carnival barkers, and here you are. You're walking through the Midway. Now, when I started last time, I started this way. I said, okay, I want to get to the other side, but I know I'm going to be harassed from here to there by carnival barkers on each side. So I'm going to have to fix my gaze straight ahead. If I look at them and they make eye contact with me or bring me into conversation, I'm sunk. I've got to ignore them because they're always trying to get you to look at them, get you into conversation. Come on, you look like a big, strong guy. You can do this. They stroke your ego. They lie to you. So I remember I set my gaze straight ahead. And I said, I'm just going to walk right past him. And walking right down through that Midway, millions of people everywhere, just a pandemonium, chaos, and all these carnival barkers, look here, look there, play this, play that, try this, try that, look at me, look over here, you can do it, try this, come on. And as I was walking through that Midway, I thought, this is exactly like the world. Because I'm trying to keep my eyes on Jesus each and every day, and I've got carnival barkers, so to speak, on either side. The world calling to me, try this, try that, do this, do that, look here, look there. But my Bible said, look straight ahead. At what? At Jesus, at the things of God. I am to use my eye gate to look at, focus on the things of God. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes. Everybody say with me, look ahead. Fix your eyes. Fix your gaze. Fix your focus. Because we're all walking through the world, and on either side of us are temptations constantly calling to us. And so we've got to keep our eyes looking straight ahead. Fix your eyes straight ahead. Over and over again, the Bible talks about the importance of your focus. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking away. So I'm looking away from the carnival barkers of life. I'm looking away from the temptations, away from the allurements. I'm looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes primarily on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? I'm to fix my gaze. I like to call it the eye of faith. My eye of faith is always turned towards him. I don't look away from Jesus on the inside. I am walking with him, talking with him. Now, I've got to focus on other things or I can't function in life, but I have a primary focus, and that focus is Jesus. Jesus said, seek first. Everybody say first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So here's what it comes down to. Who is on or what is on the throne of your heart? Because all of us have a throne in our heart where we crown something or someone king. Is Jesus on the throne of our heart or is something else? And that is the battle of the Christian life. Every day that I wake up, I get into the Word of God, I get into prayer, and what am I doing? I'm saying, Jesus, today you are on the throne of my heart. You are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You are my Lord. You're not my default God. You're not just a flat tire God to me. That when I'm in trouble, I call on you. No, Lord, you're on the throne of my heart. You are who I bow to. You are who I worship. You are who I obey. You are who I love. I have given you, Lord, the preeminence of everything else in my life. You are numero uno. You are it for me. I am all in. Come on, everyone, give the Lord praise. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus. Is Jesus on the throne of your heart today? Is he really? Is he the one that you obey? Is he the one that you're chasing after? Are you seeking after him? Is he number one or is it a career? Or is it another person? Oh, I have seen Christians get in trouble by hooking up with somebody they shouldn't be running with. And before long, you see them replacing Jesus with that person on the throne of their heart. And anything you place above Jesus, you will grow to hate one day. We're to look straight ahead. Everybody say, look straight ahead. Got to guard the eye gate. Jesus said of the eye gate, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So Jesus said, the window to the soul is the eye gate. And we've got to protect our eyes, folks. You got to get up every day and say, today I'm going to watch over my eye gate. And I'm going to let in what should come in, and I'm going to keep out what should stay out. We're in a visual culture. You can't go on the internet without running into garbage unless you're very careful. Watch normal TV now. You can't see things on normal TV commercials that if you're not careful, get into your eye gate. Things that should not come in, come in. So everybody say, guard the eye gate. See, what do you know you need to not look at? And what do you know that you need to look at? Wake up in the morning and put your eyes on the Word of God and get the eye of your faith on Jesus Christ and give God your eyes. Give God the eye gate and ask God to help you. And listen, when you guard the eye gate, it helps you walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. Give God praise, even though I know this is convicting. But it's really good news, because if you look at the wrong thing, you're going to grieve the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. But if you focus on the good things, then it brings great, great power. It says it literally brings light into your soul. Now, the second gate is the tongue. He says, avoid all perverse talk. Now, notice, the more we take charge of our tongue, the more we're going to enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God, because death and life are in the power of what you say. That's what the Bible says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we not to only watch and guard over the eye gate, but we need to guard the speak gate, what we say. Jesus said a lot about the importance of what you say. He said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an accounting for every careless or useless word they speak. Well, that makes you not want to talk at all. But did you hear what Jesus just said? Jesus let us know that there is a recorder going on in heaven all the time. And every word that people say that is careless, reckless, abusive, thoughtless, flippant, they're going to give an accounting for. So we all have a responsibility, and that is with the words we speak, because we can do what no other created thing that God made can do. We can express ourselves in language. God gave us that power. Dogs can't do that, though I wish my dog could talk sometimes, because they whine and whimper and look at you, and I say, I can't figure out what you're trying to tell me. Would you just say it? And they can't. But the bottom line is, God gave us the ability to speak. We can bless, we can curse, we can say good things and bad. We can literally bring death or life on a person. We can run people down and destroy them and abuse them with our words, or we can build them up. I was talking to a lady this week who finally, and I'm not saying she did right, I don't know the whole situation, but she said, I walked away from this marriage because he was so abusive to me. He was always running me down. He was always castigating me and criticizing me and abusing me verbally, where I lost all confidence in myself and all sense of self. And so I'm just getting out. And again, I'm not saying she did right or wrong, but I understand that when somebody is using words, the speak gate, the tongue gate, for bad, it can bring death, it can bring life. You can pick somebody up, you can take somebody down, you can move them forward, you can take them backward, you can cause them to do great things for God, or you can hinder them in their walk. The words we speak are incredibly powerful, and we need to understand God gave us this incredible gift to use it wisely. Jesus even went so far as to say that our words can pollute our soul. He said the words you speak come from the heart, and that's what defiles you. That's the tongue gate. Because we can actually, as it were, pour mud into our souls by some of the things that we say. So we're to guard the mouth gate. Our words can literally pour defilement into our spirit, or can cause us to walk in the spirit. What do you want? Do you want to walk in the spirit? Then you say the kinds of things you should. Listen to what Paul said. Don't let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. But what should I say? Only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and according to the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Amen. Man, there's people I've got in my life, I love talking to them because they always encourage me. They always exhort me. They always say good things to me, and they lift me up. And when I'm down, they're the people I want to call, because they're not going to say, well, Jeff, you know, you're this and you're that, and they don't run me down. But they say, God's on your life. God's going to make a way. He's going to make a way where there isn't a way. He's upon you. He's going to bless you. You're going to get through this to the other side. God's hand is on your life. Don't worry about it. Weeping endures for a night. Joy comes in the morning. You can make it, Jeff. And they say those kinds of things to me, and my spirit goes from here to here after talking to that kind of person. Amen. Paul, notice, when he tells the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit, he immediately tags that command with what you say. He said, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Everybody say speaking. Speaking what? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So notice, after saying be filled with the Spirit, he says here's how: speaking, singing, thanking, words, speaking to each other. When was the last time you walked up to somebody and spoke a psalm to them? Singing. I won't do that to you. It's not my gift to come up and sing to you. It would not edify you. I don't have a singing voice. I was called to speak, not sing. Although I can carry a tune. But the bottom line is, look what he says. He deals with what we say, what comes out of the mouth gate. Look what he says. Speaking, singing, giving thanks. Speaking the word of God. Singing the word of God. Thanking God. That's how you guard the tongue gate. So everybody say, guard what you say. Because we have great power with our words.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111. Or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.